For Parsha Shmos, we have close to 10 Divrei Torah. So we're going to start out at the way beginning of the Parsha, which says as follows, Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael habayim Yitzrayima. And then it says, Es Yaakov. So the Pardes Yosef has an unbelievable insight as to how we need to act when we are in Galus, when we are not living in the land of Israel. And he says, we have to act like Yaakov. That's why it says, Habayim Mitzrayim, those who came to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is representing Galus in general, as Yaakov. You have to be like Yaakov. What's Yaakov like? So he explains as follows, he's an Anav. He's a modest person who is of the view, I have nothing coming to me. Yaakov Avinu at one point says, Katonti mekol ha-chasadim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've done so many chasadim to me, so many chesed. I don't know how I've earned all of this. Yaakov Avinu wanted to avoid conflict with Esav. All he wanted to do was an ish, tam, yoshev, olim. I want to sit, I want to learn Torah, I want to focus on the things that are important and not get involved in other things that are not important, even though they may be more attractive. And says the Pardes Yosef, if we can take that approach of Yaakov Avinu in Galus, stay below the radar screen, will be successful. On the other hand, if we try to be like the non-Jews, if we try to achieve tremendous, luxurious successes to be like the non-Jews, with the motivation of being like the non-Jews, and we leave behind the Torah and want to be like Esav, says the Pardes Yosef, that is what is destructive for us when leaving in Galus. So that is the message of the Pardes Yosef. When we're in Galus, act like a Yaakov, stay below the radar screen, focus on what's important, and don't go to the extremes that we see in secular society. Continuing, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says in the Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the palace. He was an Egyptian prince, but he also knows indeed that he's born a Jew. He's Jewish. And then one day he comes out and he sees an Egyptian beating a Jew. And if we can imagine, and this is a Dvar Torah I heard when I was in elementary school, I don't remember which Rav I heard it from, but he said as follows, Moshe Rabbeinu al Pidrush is experiencing an identity crisis here. Vayif and Kovachor, he sees this Egyptian beating the Jew. I'm Egyptian. I'm not getting involved. It's an Egyptian beating a Jew. It's fine. On the other hand, he knew he was Jewish. And he says, I need to get involved. I need to stop this. And the Pasuk, Al Pidru says, Vayifen Kovacho, he turned this way and that way. This way, I'm Egyptian, that's my identity. The other way, I'm a Jew, that's my identity. And he said to himself, this internal conflict, Vayarki Einish, if I can't decide who I am not an Ish, I am a nobody. And right then, Moshe Rabbeinu decided, I'm a Jew, Vayach as a Mitzri. He hit the Mitzri side of him. He destroyed the Mitzri side of him. Vayid Meneu Bechol, and he buried it in the sand, saying, I am a Yid forever. And this Rav added on and says, all of us experience this conflict, whatever country we are from. Be it, am I primarily American, or my priority is my Judaism. The same thing if you're from England. Am I English first and foremost, or is my priority being Jewish? South Africa, wherever it may be, even in Israel, is my priority being Israeli, or is the Torah my priority? And obviously the priority has to always be to be a Shomer Torah mitzvah, to be a Jew, and thereafter we can have the nationalistic feelings of from whatever country we are from. Continuing the next day, Moshe Rabbeinu comes out. We are now in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and now we have a Jew eating a Jew. This is Dasan and Aviram. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hinei Shnei Anashim Ayivrim, needs him. Two Jews now fighting. Vayomer LaRasha, and he says to the Rasha, to the evil one, the aggressor, why are you hitting him? So the question is, why does he call him a Rasha? And the Avnei Ozel explains as follows, the aggressor, a Rasha, maybe he's not a Rasha. He says as follows, in a time that the non-Jews are being aggressive and they are attacking us, this is obviously not the time that we should have internal conflict and be fighting between one another. And he says, anyone that is involved in a fight with another Jew, when we have the Egyptians who are aggressing against us, we had a Jew being beaten by the Egyptian the prior day. He says, that is rishus. That's evil. that you can't settle your internal conflicts at a time when you absolutely need to, when you're being attacked from the outside, says the Avnei Oza. That is why Moshe Rabbeinu called the aggressor a Rasha. We are now continuing Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It says as follows, Vatal Shavasam Elokim Min Avoda, that the cry, the shouts, the difficulties of Klal Yisrael went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Min Avoda, the shot, Min Avoda, because of the back-breaking work that the Egyptians forced upon the Jews. It was breaking them. But Rav Shmelki from Nicholsburg says another explanation. What's Min HaAvoda? So as we know, in the Kriyat Shema, we say, Ula Avdo B'chol B'Vavchem, and Chazal explain, what does that mean, Avoda? Avoda in our hearts. Ezo Hish Avoda Shebelev. What does this say, Avoda in our hearts? That is our tefillah. That is our davening. That's our true Avoda. And Rav Shmelki Minikos says as follows, that the true cry to Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't so much from the back-breaking work. That was bad as well. But even more so, Klal Yisrael was calling out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have time to daven. We don't have time to be involved in our Avoda Hashem because we are being subjective to servitude. We are slaves. A slave doesn't own his time, and we can't do things that we wanted to. We can't be davening. That's our avoda. And accordingly, Vatal Shavasam Elokim Min HaAvoda is because of the lack of avoda, because we couldn't worship Kodesh Baruch Hu. We couldn't have that connection. That was even worse than the back-breaking work. Continuing, the Pasuk says as follows, Perek Beis Pasuk Chafhei Vayar Elokim Es Bnei Yisrael Vayeda Elokim. The Malbim says beautifully, what is this word, the double word, Vayar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw and he knew. What's going on that we need both? And he says, really insightful, he says, you look at a person, you don't know what's going on internally. You can see the external of a person. You can see if it looks healthy from the outside, if he looks happy, if he's wounded, if whatever, but that's just from the outside. But we never know what's going on the inside of somebody else. And this is telling us that Vayar Elokim Es Bnei Yisrael, he saw from the outside, but it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayed Elokim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on the inside. And obviously it's an application here is Klal Yisrael. He saw the outside, he saw the inside of the travails that they were going through. But also the message is, when we deal with other people, we may be able to see what we think. We just see from the outside, but we never know the true story of the challenges that somebody is dealing with on the inside. We are now continuing to the Snat. We are in Perek Gimel, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu, Hinei Snat, Boer Ba'esh, Vashneh, and Enoch Chol. He sees the burning bush. He can't believe it. How is it not being consumed by the fire? Then he gets drawn in, and now we have that conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Moshe Elokim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to go? Hashem says, I want you to go and take the Jews out. And Moshe Rabbeinu is negotiating. No, it's not me. Mi Anochi Kielecha. Who am I? Who am I? He was such an anav. Such a humble person. I'm not appropriate. I'm not applicable. I'm not in the parsha being somebody who can go to take them out. I'm a nobody. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back as follows, V'zelecha ha'os. This in of itself is the proof. This is the sign that you are the right person. If you weren't asking that, if you weren't humble and saying, I'm not right for the job, you wouldn't be right for the job. I'm not going to take up al gaiva. But somebody who says, Mi anochi keilech al paro, this in of itself, that Moshe Rabbeinu, you're asking me, who am I? Who am I to go? I'm a nothing. That's the proof that you are the right person to go. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu says even more, the proof that you're the right person is going to come shortly when Klal Yisrael comes out. In the next puzzle, where am I going to give you the Torah? I'm going to give you the Torah not on the mountains that are high and fancy and they're fighting over this job, but rather I'm going to give the Torah on this Har Sinai, which is a humble, which is a lowly har, which is a lowly mountain. That's exactly why I'm choosing you, because you think you're not the right person, and that's another proof is that we're going to get the Torah on this mountain right here that you're standing on, because it's of the same view, it has the same personality, it's lowly. It doesn't think highly. It's not about gaiva. That's the people and the harem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to deal with. Just an interesting story to just bring this out is a story about two Talmidim, two of the great Talmidim, students of the Rebbe Melublin. They were two brothers, and they were equally great Geonim and Torah, and they were both Hasidim, they were both Talmidim of the Rebbe from Lublin. And what happened interesting is that everyone gravitated to one and not the other. So everyone, when they needed a bracha, and whenever they needed had a question, needed an etzah, they went to one of the brothers, but not to the second brother. They gave tremendous kavod to the first brother, nothing to the second one. So there was once a time that the brothers met up, and the second one says to the first one, "Can you explain to me why everyone is going to you, everyone is giving you kavod, everyone is attracted to you, and not to me?" And the other one, the first one, who used to get all the kavod, says as follows, "You know, I wonder the same thing. I'm always wondering, why are people coming to me and not going to you?" And in fact, the first brother says, "Well, maybe that indeed answers the question, because I'm constantly saying, why are they coming to me? And you're constantly wondering, why are they not coming to you? It could very well be that this is the os, that this is the reason why they come to me and they don't come to you." We are now continuing with Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says, "V'nasati etchen ha'am hazeh." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "I am going to ensure that the Mitzrim will feel fondly towards Klal Yisrael, and indeed when they come to leave, I'm going to ensure that they don't leave empty-handed. The Mitzrim are going to give them lots of gifts to take with them." So the Imre Cohen says as follows, when somebody wastes all of his when somebody uses his time productively, when somebody indeed is a good member of society, he's not Mevatel Torah, he does productive things, he's an upstanding and honest person, that person, even when he has enemies, they will respect him. And he says as follows, they will show kavod, they will show derech eretz. And that's what we see. Klal Yisrael, upstanding members of society. The Mitzrim hated them, but nonetheless, in the end of the day, they showed them respect. And when they left, they gave them the proper gifts that they had coming to them. We are now moving forward with Perek Dalid, Pasuk Chav Dalid, Vahiba Derech Moshe Rabbeinu is coming from where he was living with his family. And he's coming, and he comes with his family, and he comes with his wife, and he comes with his son that had just recently been born. He hadn't even given the milah. He was in such a rush to go and take Klal Yisrael. Now that he made the commitment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won the negotiation. He's going down. He says, "We don't have time for the Mila." And now he's on the way. And there's one of the Chachmei Musar say as follows, we learn an important lesson from here, that the Savior of Klal Yisrael, he's going to save them, but he omitted to do an important mitzvah. He omitted, b'shogeg, it wasn't on purpose, but he didn't do a mitzvah that could have canceled everything, because we have the snake here that attacks Moshe Rabbeinu because he didn't do the mitzvah of Mila. It almost kills Moshe Rabbeinu. There would have been no salvation for Klal Yisrael because of that one little mitzvah, or one big mitzvah, that one mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu omitted to do. There would have been no Yeshua. There would have been no exit from Mitzrayim. And we learn an important lesson based on this, that we're trying to get out of galus. We want to achieve a tremendous geula. What it requires, obviously, a precondition, is that we fulfill all the mitzvahs. Because we see here that even that one mitzvah, that the goel, the redeemer of Klal Yisrael, he didn't do it, almost canceled everything. Obviously, we have to be shomrei Torah mitzvahs. Every opportunity that we have to do a mitzvah, we should grab that opportunity. And we're going to just end. This is, I think, number 9. We are now in Perek Hei, Pasuk Zayin, that Paro is now, he's saying, you're complaining, Moshe, Aaron, you're complaining that you got to go and you worship your God. Obviously, you have extra time. The Jews who are working have extra time. So what we're going to do is we're going to take away the Tevin. We're not going to give them straw anymore. They're going to have to do it on their own. Let them collect the Tevin. So the Pasuk says, Lo tosifun latet Tevin. We're not going to add on to give them any more tevin. So the Rebbe from Miluv says as follows: Shuntetiv, it said lo tosifun. It says it should have said as follows: lo. It says taasfun. If we read it with the spelling, it says taf aleph samech. It doesn't have the vav there. Tosifun. We read it tosifun, but taasfun. If we just look at the letters there, don't gather together. What's going on here? And ta'asfun is from the language of asaf, to collect, to come together. So the message here is that Paro is saying, we're not going to let them come together anymore. We're going to separate them. Each Jew, we're going to separate them, let them go in their own directions and run around and find straw. The longer we have them together as an asifa, we have unity in Klal Yisrael. That's not good for the meat stream. That's good for Klal Yisrael when we have unity. But it's not good for the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So let's scatter them. Lo ta'asvun latet tevin. Don't gather them together to give them tevin anymore. Let's separate them, make them get all their own tevin. And accordingly, we're going to cause disunity in Klal Yisrael. Let's cause unity. We'll make them successful. And indeed, that's obviously the message, that the more we can unite and have simcha and shalom together, that is going to bring us hatzlacha. But the more we're running in divergent, separate ways, trying to get our own straw, but not acting as the team of Klal Yisrael, that is obviously never going to be helpful for us as a Klal.